Well, happy Valentine's Day. I probably could have put a Valentine's in the bulletin since each of you would have gotten it, but I didn't. But thanks for being here on Valentine's Day. And afterwards, we have a potluck. And if you didn't bring anything, it doesn't matter, because I think it's kind of like when Jesus fed the 5,000. There's always enough. So come. We'd rather you be able to fellowship together. And the nice thing about this church is we know that we are a microcosm or a microscopic part of Jesus' universal church. What that means is this isn't the only place to worship. That God has different people all over, different parts of the body all over. But we are joined together in a common bond of worshiping Jesus. So join us today afterwards. And then the only other thing to mention, next week I'm going to talk about our purpose statement. The very first one is belong. And then Winston's going to talk about grow. And then I'll pick up serve and then go for the next 4 weeks. So what Mr. Chuck talked about on the bulletins, we're going to get to. How do you serve? What do you do? How do you go out? How do you belong? I think it'll be interesting. Well, for today, like Rick, I wasn't trying to avoid love because I knew that I had to talk about it. But it morphed just like it always does. And so one of the things I was thinking about is it's difficult sometimes to know if you're loved or how you're loved. I mean, I know we had this book growing up and we would read it to the kids, Guess How Much I Love You. And if you ask that question or say that to someone else, they might not be able to tell you exactly. Lots of times kids can tell that their parents love them. But what about older kids, older teens, adults, and whatnot? Can they tell that you love them? Well, there is one surefire way that I remember from grade school. And it is the do you love me check yes or no note. And I wasn't really on the receiving end of this one much, but or even at all. But I was the one that would pass it to my friends. So what would happen? My friend would write it, and then he would want me to be the delivery person. I would go over and give it to the girl that he liked, and she would stare at it for a moment and look and kind of wonder, what do I really think? And, you know, almost inevitably, they'd mark yes. And I would pass it back, and of course, he gets all happy. The funny thing is, like, 2 days later, they're mad at each other. So that's about how it goes. But it's cool because with this note, you can say, oh, yeah, well, you said you loved me. Now I got something to go back on. Well, with Valentine's Day, it's kind of challenging, I think, for a lot of people. And specifically when a relationship has broken up or when you haven't had love from your parents. And so it brings up some kind of sadness. And from the Pixar movie, Inside Out, there's a character named Sadness, and it seems like everything perpetually is sad. And sadness is not a bad emotion, because God uses it too. But what do you do with the sadness, especially on Valentine's Day? How do you deal with it, and how do you forgive and move on? How do you love again? And that's really everything we're talking about today. Before I get there, I'd like to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be together. We know we are part of the body of Christ, and we want to do our best to honor you. Please give me the words to say, and I know that you've asked me to do this, and out of love, I'm following you. So please just help your word to get out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what is love? That is a loaded question. There's even movies that tell you what love actually is. And then you have other things where it's a lot of infatuation, which is a fancy word of saying, oh, I really puppy love you. I really like you, but it doesn't last forever. The world defines love as anything that makes you happy, because you deserve to be happy. And its hallmark is that love is anything I get. And so you look at movies and TV shows, you look at people around you, and if they're not getting love from someone else, then they don't show love back, and then they move on. So it's a temporary love, and they might have all the emotions, the feelings of love, without the commitment of it. I was reading something that said, 1 out of 2 marriages end in divorce. That's pretty sad, because as a child that has to live with that, it's challenging. But if a family is putting God first, you know that divorce ratio drastically is lessened. And that's great news for us. So the world defines it as anything you get, a love that you get. That's true love. But then the Bible defines it differently. And Rick did an excellent job of explaining it today, where we have this strange and mystical emblem, not a heart with an arrow going through it, but we have a cross with a person on it dying. Why would that show love? But it's what he did on our behalf, that he went up there, and it wasn't nails that actually held him there. It was love that held him there, love for us. We didn't deserve it. So then this is the kind of love we're talking about today. In Greek, there are 4 terms that mean love, and actually the Bible only uses 2 of them. One's called phileo, which we get Philadelphia. Ironically, it's supposed to be the city of brotherly love, but their crime rate is pretty high. So phileo love is a brotherly, an emotional, I really like you love. And then the other one is agape love, which is the I love you at all cost. It's kind of a higher form of love. And so the Bible uses this. And in the book of John, he actually uses both semi-interchangeably. So how does that change this passage we're going to look at? Well, before we get there, Bible love is different because it's what can I give? World love is what can I get? Bible love, or loving like Jesus, is what can I give? So it's loving out of who you have become in Christ. So it's very different. Well, Jesus, remember, he had disciples. He had 12 disciples, and they would follow him. For 3 years, they followed him. And many of them said that they loved him very much. But there was one man in particular that said he loved him at all cost, even more than everyone else. And his name was Peter. So I would like to read you some of his quotes about his love for Jesus. And the first one is in Matthew 26, 33. It says, Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." So that was Peter's first one. And then the next one is Luke 22:33. And he says, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." And then this third one that he's talking about is in John, and it's 13:37. And he says, Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Now, does that sound like some of the world love? I would take a bullet for you, babe. Ever wonder why these pop songs, they release a new album, and it's all these love songs, but you know they've had 2 or 3 more relationships since the last album. And how much they're professing love to whoever it was that first album, now it's someone later. So they're saying, "I would die for you," but really it means, "Will you die for me? Because I'm going to leave." Peter felt that he was strong enough to be able to stand firm. He boasted those 3 times. And you know what happened? There are 3 times he fails. And even though he cut off a person's ear when Jesus was being taken away, he felt that that was bold. It was shortly after that, when he is in front of a fire with other people, when Jesus is going through trial and on his way to the cross or Golgotha, And so that happens in Luke. It's 22 and starting at 57. I want to read it because there's three things to point out. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. And about an hour later, another asserted, "Hey, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. So Peter didn't take a bullet for Jesus. He didn't even go to death with him. He didn't even tell people that Jesus was the Son of God. I would say their relationship is over. It's a done deal. Jesus, you have to cut your losses and move on. But Jesus' very next question kind of betrays his thoughts. So Peter denies him in front of this fire, in front of others. And Jesus says, "Do you love me?" I think it's awesome that God had Rick choose this very same passage. We hadn't talked about it, but that's how he works. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John 21. And we're looking at verses 15, 16, and 17. And what has happened is that Peter, after he disowned Jesus, Jesus died on the cross. He was taken down, he was buried, and then he rose again. So this had happened, and Jesus was appearing before the disciples. He had appeared to them two times before. And so the first part of chapter 21 begins with the disciples going back to their original profession. Most of them were fishermen before. So they're like, "Well, what do I do? Jesus is gone. I don't know what he wants us to do next. So we'll go fishing." So they start going fishing in the evening time, and they go all night long. And in the morning, when they're able to see something, they see someone on the shore, and he says, "Have you guys caught anything?" And they shout back, "No." So he says, "Throw their nets on the right side." And it's kind of weird. I mean, would you listen to a stranger that told you what to do from the shore? But they still listened. I don't know if they had an inkling or anything like that. They tossed the nets in, and instantly 153 large fish jump into the nets. John looks over and says, "Hey, that's Jesus." And Peter, being the very impetuous one, jumps in and goes to visit with Jesus. So they get the boats in, and finally the fish are brought in, and they see that Jesus has made them fish and bread for breakfast. He had prepared a nice fire, and they were able to fellowship together for breakfast. And that's exactly where verse 15 picks up. So let's read it. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to them, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." I find that it's pretty neat that Jesus, he knows everything, just like Peter said. And he didn't rebuke Peter. He just asked him a question, "Do you love me?" Luke 24:34 actually says that Jesus already had met with Peter. And you know, I wonder if they had already kind of worked through some of their relationship, some of their his previous downfalls, and privately those were worked through. But one of the reasons Jesus did this, one of the reasons he asked these questions and it was written down, is because Peter publicly denied Jesus. So now he has to publicly confess him. And this is different than the Catholic way of, well, you said 10 sins, you need to say 10 Hail Marys, and pray the rosary 10 times. Then it's going to negate each other. It's not that. Jesus did it as a reason of showing what has to happen for reconciliation. So it's not a principle, 10 to 10, I prayed 10 times, I sinned 10 times kind of thing. Verse 15 says, do you love me more than these? What do you think Jesus could be talking about? The picture actually shows a few of them. There's boats, there's nets, there's a haul of fish, and there is people. So by context, it could be that Jesus is saying, well, do you love me more than your boats? Do you love me more than your livelihood? Do you love me more than the fish that are going to bring you money? Maybe do you love me more than you love those other guys you've been with for 3 years? But probably it's, do you love me more than they love me? Remember, Peter had boasted that he would be the last man standing. His love would be the greatest over all of them. And so Jesus is kind of pointing out this very thing. Peter, you said that you did that, and I know you failed. Do you love me more than they? And so Peter answers, yes, you know my heart. You know I love you. And then he asks the second time, do you love me? And again, Peter says, yeah, you know I love you. But Jesus this time dropped the, do you love me more than these? So he's kind of narrowing down the focus. And then verse 17, he asks the third time, do you love me? And do you remember what we read that said Peter was grieved or he was saddened by this? Why do you think he would be saddened? Do you think it could be that he remembered the three times he boasted, the three times he denied, and now the three times Jesus is asking? So everything is brought up to him in his mind, and he knows that he failed Jesus and that he is understood by Jesus completely. And yet he still says, yes, you know everything, and I love you. Jesus asked him to take care of his sheep and his lambs. And if you look at the whole scene, there's three exchanges. So three times he questions, and three times Peter answers, and three times Jesus commissions him, says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep. Earlier, Peter had denied Jesus by a fire. Remember that? So he probably had the smell of the charcoal going through the air. And Jesus had providentially made a fire. And the smells brought Peter back. And Peter was brought face to face with what had gone on. And Jesus was publicly restoring him. Now, we could stop there. But I think that that would be a bummer. Because there's a lot more going on than even just this one little English interaction. Love, like I said, there's two words that the Bible uses. And here we have more depth. And if you like to understand the Bible, you can get your biblical geek on. Not Greek, but geek. And this is cool because John actually is using different words. In English, we don't even get it. But he's using different words in Greek to be able to show a little more depth of what's going on. So verse 15, Jesus says, do you love me? And what he uses is the agape love. Do you unconditionally love me, Peter? And Peter says, yes, I brotherly love you, Jesus. So he agrees to the agape, but he can't really bring himself to say the same word for love as Jesus did. Jesus demonstrated his love to him, and while he was still a sinner, he died for him. Peter demonstrated his love for him by denying him. So Peter couldn't use that same term. And then in verse 16, Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you love me at all cost? And Peter says again, yes, I brotherly love you, Jesus. You know my heart. And that's true. He had failed all along. And Jesus knew his heart. But Peter still loved him. Now the third one, verse 17, Jesus knows Peter, and he says, "Do you brotherly love me, Peter?" And Peter responds, "You know everything ever. You know my heart too. I brotherly love you." Now John, he uses those two terms interchangeably all throughout his book. And so I don't think we need to assign too much pressure onto this, the differences, but the Holy Spirit allowed those differences to stay in. So if we don't put everything onto it, I could tell you what's going on. Jesus is calling him to a higher love, and Peter, he wants to get to that higher love, but he's not able to at this time. He knows he failed, but he knows he loves Jesus. And then Jesus asks him again, but the last time, he says, "Peter, I'll meet you where you're at. Do you love me from where you're at?" And he says, "Absolutely, I do." So then that's the very first part. He wants to love unconditionally. Now, there was a story about a man, and I guess he was getting into his car, and he was listening to a message on this very passage. And he said, "I really wish that I could respond to Jesus the way Peter did." And he couldn't. He felt that he couldn't do that. So I said, "Well, I wonder if the opposite would be true." And I say, "Jesus, you know my heart. You know I don't love you." And he realized, no, that's not true. So then he knew that he loved him some. So he said, "Jesus, you know my heart. I love you. And I know it's not too deep, but I do love you." And then almost instantly, he thought about Jesus' sacrifice, the symbol of the cross and the one that died on his behalf. And it all kind of washed over him, his forgiveness and his restoration in the sight of God. And he says, "Jesus, you know my heart, and you know I love you." I think it's really cool that Jesus meets us where we're at, and he brings us to a better place. Well, the second word that Jesus uses, or Peter actually uses, is the word "know." And it's different two times again. And the first two times, verse 15 and 16, it's, "Lord, you know my heart." Yeah, you get my heart. There's a personal knowledge of Peter's heart. But the very last time, it's different. It's a different word. And it's almost like you know everything. You see everything. You know me in a way that no one ever, only my Creator, only the one who gave me the name Peter, could understand me. It suggests that Peter, who was very bold and brash, was finally humble. Jesus had given him an opportunity to be very boastful and proud. "Do you love me more than everyone else?" And he didn't take it because he was humble. Finally, he was broken to the point that he was willing to hear what Jesus had to say. And then the very last of the changes is lambs and sheep. In the English, we don't really get it. If you look at a different translation like New American Standard, you'll see a little differences. I think the very first one was, "Feed my lambs." Lambs are normally little sheep. And then the second one is, "Tend my sheep." Sheep are normally bigger. Tending is like a shepherd. And then the third one is, "Feed my sheep." So all of those encompass Jesus' mission for Peter. It's his full perspective. "I want you to take care of my little ones, those that follow me, those that profess to be my believers. I want you to feed them by teaching them what I have said. And I want you to feed those that are older. Take care of them." Because he was basically commissioning him to be part of the first church that was set up. And not like Peter, the first pope kind of thing. Peter was an integral part in setting up the leadership of the Jerusalem church. And so Jesus was fully restoring him. He had failed three times, and he was restored in these three times. I think that's pretty cool. And again, it just reminds us that Jesus meets us where we're at. Now, how does this relate to Valentine's Day? Well, the very first thing, I think, is Jesus' question, do you love me? And it's not just a, do you like me? Do you think I'm your pal? Do you want to talk to me sometimes kind of thing. For us, we have to put Jesus first. And what I tell people that are thinking about getting married or looking for a spouse, and even what it was for me, look for someone that will put Jesus first at all cost. If he puts Jesus first, he wants to follow Jesus' words. You know what Jesus has? Is love one another, put your family first, respect your wife, respect your husband, and lay down your life for your spouse or those that love. So if you put Jesus first, naturally, all those things, if they follow Jesus, will fall in line. So the first principle then is put Jesus first. And that means asking him to show you where you don't love him, in the areas you aren't allowing him to be first. And sometimes that is love, especially when you're in the infatuation phase, the exciting phase. God kind of gets pushed off. But it's allowing him, allowing his answers, his words to change us. So that's the very first thing. The second one is being willing to reconcile. Now Jesus, he had all rights to disown Peter completely, to say, okay, well, you're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to hell now. And Jesus didn't do that. Jesus restored Peter. Now for us as humans, it gets really challenging because when we're hurt, we hold on to that hurt. We hold on to that pain. Sometimes it's what fuels us. And we have a difficult time allowing ourselves to love again. I'm not saying go out and forgive every single person immediately. What I'm saying is ask God to help you have a heart that's willing to forgive. Are you willing to say to someone, okay, I accept your apology. I forgive you. If you do that, you'll realize that no matter how high a person is, even when they fall, they can be restored. And then the very last one is being willing to say I'm sorry. Being willing to be repentant and to reconcile. So when we have just the anger towards people and an unwillingness to do anything about it, if we put Jesus first, then it's saying, Jesus, I want to say sorry to this person. I don't know if their heart is ready, but please prepare mine. So I bring it up often, but like for my relationship with my dad, and yes, there's love there. It's a different form of love at the moment. But eventually, will there be a point where there's forgiveness asked, an apology given, and forgiveness received? Is my heart prepared to be able to say, I forgive you? Is his heart prepared to say, I'm sorry? My responsibility is just to allow Jesus to prepare my heart. And then if I'm following Jesus, he actually makes all these scenarios work out. Sometimes it takes a really long time. So for this Valentine's Day, what I would encourage you to do is not look at the person next to you and say that you love them. Not to call your spouse or your loved ones and say you love them until you look at yourself and say, Jesus, do I love you? Do you know that I love you? Can you say yes, I know it? Or do you have to say no? And then after that, go ahead, write your cards, call people, because it's a good day for that. But Jesus asked the same question. Do you know how much I love you? And he spread his arms out and he says, I love you this much. Let's pray. God, thank you for saying yes to us. We didn't deserve it. And just like Peter, man, I don't even know how you were able to deal with that. But you did it. Thank you for allowing us to be in a good relationship with you. And Thank you for Valentine's Day to remind us of it. In Jesus' name, amen.